Marcus, I think you wanted to start with our T&W Tire Locks of the Week, correct?
Yeah, I was going to give Matt a little crap, you know. I mean, a couple weeks ago we locked the Giants against the Cowboys, and so I'm going to ask him if this is a really is this an opinion or is this a mojo type situation that you're working with?
Let me go back here. Did I really lock the Giants? Oh, what a dumbass pick that was. Yes, I did. It was plus 11. I just don't trust Dallas. I don't trust them. Philly's playing better. The Cowboys are now starting to have COVID issues come up. I know that early in the week, a lot of Eagles went on the COVID list, including Fletcher Cox. But apparently, it doesn't sound good for Micah Parsons playing tomorrow. If Tyron Smith is on that list, that's not good. Anthony Brown being on that list might be good football wise. I don't wish it on anybody. But no, you're going
to put him on that list a few times.
You know, he's hot and cold. He can make some plays and then get beat. But he certainly knows how to commit a penalty. But I'm getting 4.5 with Philadelphia. They're playing better. I do think there will be some motivation there from Philadelphia. You know, earlier in the year, Dallas just embarrassed them on Monday Night Football. Now, you can look at that two different ways. You can say, well, Dallas is just that much better. But I also think, and I know the Cowboys lost at home last week, but I also think Dallas is just, for whatever reason, you get them out of the 72 degrees of AT&T Stadium, you know, Dallas has morphed away from being a running football team. I mean, they are a pass-first team, and if there's bad weather up there, which you know it's going to be cold, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in the Cowboys right now.
I agree with you. I think that's a good pick. I think that Dallas has got no motivation to play this game, and I think that Philly, for whatever reason, they've been doing just enough to win. So I think you're right on that.
They did just enough to cover because I had Philly last week as my T&W Tire Lock of the Week, losing the majority of the game. They were given 3.5, ended up winning by 4, and Washington was thrown into the end zone late. So I scraped by with a win last week with Philadelphia. I would love to have a if Dallas could win this thing 24-21, that would make me very, very happy.
Okay.
Now, they don't have Miles Sanders.
That's right.
That's okay. Boston Scott. I mean, that's like okay. Kind of a running back by committee anyway, right? I mean,
how about that play last week where Hurts, what they step on his foot coming out of center, and he just pitches the ball to Boston Scott on the sweep to the right for the touchdown. Boston Scott dives into the end zone. I mean, great play by Jalen Hurts there. But
now, Humper, right. What's your lock?
My lock, I went with the Saints. They're playing at the Falcons. It's 3.5, right, Matt? 3.5. But the Saints have to win to get now. They also have to have some help from the 49ers, have to have the Rams win. But the Rams still have incentive to win. So those games are going to be played at the same time on Sunday afternoon, 3:25 our time on Fox. But, no, I'm just going with the Saints from the standpoint that incentive to win if they have to win to get in, and also have some help from the 49ers. But their defense has just been playing great. They're not much on offense right now, but I think, you know, they ought to do just enough to win by, you know, 4 to 7 points. So I'll take the Saints on
well,
the road.
What happened the first time they played?
I haven't done my research, Marcus. Tell me.
I think it's one of the more shocking results of the year. I mean, remember, the Saints were coming off a big win. They had just beaten somebody I can't remember that was pretty good, and they kind of just got handled easily at home.
Okay, well,
against
good.
The Falcons.
That gives them even more incentive now. They got payback on
that.
Their side also.
I'll buy into that a little bit. I don't think Atlanta last game, you know what I'm saying? It's the last game. They've been close at times. They've been a bad team, but that's fair. So Pat's lock is the Raiders, huh?
Yeah, he's locking the Raiders against the Chargers in that winner-take-all game.
I like that side of it. I mean, I know he just said that he liked the Raiders because he's a Raider, but I think that one team can run the ball and another team can't run the ball. So it's easy to get caught up in the fireworks of what Justin Herbert can do, but I think that I'll take the team in a game like that means a lot, that will be able to run the ball. And this might be the only home game this year that the Raiders would have home field advantage, because there's not a ton of Chargers fans anywhere either. So
when you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Well, and that does mean a lot. Obviously, winner take all games. So the Bucks. Now, Matt said that line was 8. If he had said 6.5, I might have locked the Bucks. You know, to me, I think, you know, the Bucks still have something to play for as far as playoff positioning. They should just roll the Panthers this weekend, right?
I mean, they should have rolled the Jets last week too, right?
Well, even if they don't have no, I know they should have, but. I don't know. At this point in the year, the Panthers, man, their season has just gone into the tank, it seems to me. And they played a few weeks ago, and the Bucks run ruled them, you know, even in Carolina. So I don't know. I would think that the Bucks would cover even the 8 points there, but I did not lock it.
I mean, you'd have to be you'd have to have a lot of intestinal fortitude to take the other side of that. I do agree with you on the national championship game.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. I do. I think, you know, not having Mechie is going to hurt. I think Georgia probably learned something from the first game this year. And it's a pretty simple analysis to me. I mean, if you want to just judge based on the one game that they played, that's fine. But head-to-head matchup is not, you know, one team won, but we both recognize they're good teams. That doesn't mean that the same result is going to happen. Look at Oklahoma State Baylor, right? I mean, Oklahoma State won the game fairly easily in the regular season. It was a 10-point game, and Baylor made it close in the second half, but OSU was kind of in control of that most of the way, and they don't get it done in Dallas in the second meeting. There are a lot of streaks, though, on the Alabama side of this thing. You know, not ever losing to an assistant, not losing to a team from the East in over 10 years. So I think it's going to be a good game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it's 4-0 against Kirby Smart, Saban is. I think it's have they beaten Georgia 7 straight times? I mean, that,
well, it's way over 30 like against teams from the East.
Oh, no, there's a number of streaks. No, you're exactly right, Marcus. Alabama offensive line, they did lose their right guard went out with a shoulder injury in that win over Cincinnati. Their right tackle had some lower leg injury there, and so Alabama's dealing with that also. To me, I don't know, Stetson Bennett, obviously he's 13-3 overall, but he's 0-2 against Bama. He's thrown 5 picks in those 2 games. You were telling me that Stetson Bennett, so he's a senior, so this is it for him, right?
This is it, yep.
But he looked good against Michigan, 3 touchdowns, no picks, threw for 313 yards. They used their backs well. I don't know. They were 10 of 16 on third down against Michigan after they were only 3 of 12 on third down against Alabama. So obviously Stetson Bennett, he's got to play well, but I think he will. I think he'll bounce back. But mainly I'm betting on the Georgia defense to bounce back from a brutal game where they did give up 421 passing yards to Bryce Young in Alabama.
Well, they have to protect their secondary. And I think that Alabama, I think Georgia in the first game thought, we're just good enough to play the way that we've been playing. And, you know, maybe they, crazy as it sounds, maybe they were a little bit overconfident as to who they really were. You know, that they're not, their secondary hadn't been challenged, and that is a weakness. They've got plenty of strengths across the front of that defense. So you're going to have to scheme it up in ways to put more pressure on Young and maybe sacrifice stopping the run. You know, I mean, Alabama isn't a real physical running team. And you mentioned the 2 injuries on the offensive line. So it's different than it's been in the past when they've had great running backs. The run that Alabama's on in the last 8 to 10 years has been, it's been stupid how good it is. But I don't think that they've got the guy in the backfield this year that they've had in the past.
You know, although, you know, Alabama, obviously, they ran the ball well against Cincinnati in that game. But offensive line-wise, like I said, Bama's offensive line is a little beat up. The Georgia offensive line, they were talking about in the piece in USA Today how when they went up against Michigan, you know, the Michigan offensive line is the one that won the Joe Moore Award as the nation's best, you know, offensive line. And so that kind of fired up the Georgia offensive line in that game, and they put up 528 yards total offense, 34 points on Michigan, you know.
Right.
So, and it's kind of like they wanted to, hey, we want to prove we got a heck of an offensive line also. Well, it's the same thing if you know, if they have that kind of incentive going up again, they ought to have a lot of incentive when they got handed it to them, what, 41-24 on December the 4th. But Alabama hit the big touchdown play, 67 yards, 55 yards. Jameson Williams, like we said, had 10 catches for 184, two touchdowns. He's a beast, and he's going to be hard to deal with. But, you know.
I don't think he's Najee Harris, you know.
Right.
Or Josh Jacobs.
Well, no, I mean, I'm talking about Jameson Williams, the wide
Oh, the receiver. Right.
Yeah, the wide receiver.
I mean,
Robinson.
But they'll miss Mechie. I mean. He was having a big game before he went out.
Yeah. Brian Robinson did have – hey, they had a good game,
Robinson.
You know, running the football. But I'm just saying Georgia, you know, what they're doing, that offensive line, if they can play like they did against Michigan, well then – and obviously, the Georgia defensive line, they didn't have a single sack against Alabama last time, right? So – obviously, they got to put more pressure, and I think they will.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.